3. As I said earlier, I've been preparing for some time now, and I've worked I've taught the book of Daniel. Last time I taught it, we had just moved into the new building. That was 15 years ago. Isn't that right? 15 years ago this past August. So it's been a while since I've addressed that, and I think that when you look at Daniel, Daniel to the Old Testament, to the Old Testament is what Revelation is to the New Testament. And they go hand in hand with each other. And I don't want to open tonight with Daniel, and then everybody that can be here will be here, and then I'll feel compelled to regurgitate everything and get two messages. I don't like doing that, and you really don't like me doing that. So let me ask you to do, I want you to help me tonight. Take your Bibles and hold it up for me. I want you to hold your Bibles up. Let me see them. Put them up. You know that old song, get the new look from the old book? You know that song? You know what you have in your hand is God's inspired, preserved word. It's what it is. And I want to speak about the word of God for just a little bit tonight. You know, we're living in days that the professionals and many others are saying that the Bible is an outdated book. It's not relative to today's life and needs. And then, to be frank with you, we live in a day where there's very little book, Bible, going on in church. I believe it's important for us to call ourselves back to the Bible and to think about the Bible and the importance of God's Word. You can go into a lot of churches. I know I've stopped on the road. Deb and I have been traveling and stopped on a road and just gone in. And they're having a business meeting. No Bible, no singing, no praising, no worship, nothing like that at all. And as a matter of fact, we sit there halfway through. I thought maybe they'll get through the business meeting and then have a service, but they weren't doing that. And we got up and walked out of it. And we got in a car, and we went down another 4 or 5 miles and found a black church that we went into. And, man, they were having the Bible. They were having a Bible time in that place. And we went in. But I'm just saying that Bethel Baptist Church, listen, we are people of this book. We read the Bible. We read this book. We preach this book. We teach this book. We believe this book. And by the grace of God, we live this book. It is important. It is the Word of God. Now, there are those in the world who are not as privileged as what we are to have the Bible. There are those who have gone to prison because they've had a Bible. And there are those who the Word of God is so scarce. I'm talking about things we've never experienced. Now, we may experience them one day, but I'm talking about folks who take a Bible and they dissect it. They cut pages out of it and pass it out to different ones of the church membership. They memorize it, and then they trade passages with one another. We've never, as a matter of fact, many of us here, I would be guilty. I'm not sure how many Bibles I have in my possession. But over the 40 years of ministry, I've got a Scofield Reference Bible. I've got one of my favorite Bibles. I can't think of it now. But I got a lot of different study Bibles. They're all King James, but I have a lot of different ones. Now, someone said that truth without love is brutality, but love without truth is compromise. In this passage in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, notice verses 1 and 2. Paul says, finally, brethren, pray for us. Now look what he says. That the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. So Paul is saying to the church of Thessalonica that the word of the Lord, that it may have free course and be glorified. When we come together in worship time, the Word of God needs to have free course. I mean, there's not certain things we can touch on and certain things we can't touch on. If it's in this book, we just cover it from cover to cover. One of my first churches that I ever pastored, the very first Wednesday night that I'd been voted in as pastor, and I was actually the pastor that Wednesday night, I preached. And after the service, three deacons came over to my house, and which was the parsonage, which was a stone's throw across the church parking lot. And they knocked on the door, and I looked through the blinds, and I saw three deacons there. And I thought, well, this is not good. It's not good when three deacons. I didn't think that I had done such a great job. They said, you know, we've been talking. We're going to give you a raise. That was a great message. I didn't think that was it. And it wasn't, brother, let me tell you. And they came in, and they said, listen, you're new here, and you're young, and all those things are negatives. You know, I knew I was new, and I knew I was young. And they were older than dirt. And they said, there are three things you can't preach on here. And then they went to list them. You can't preach on this, and they told me why. You can't preach on this, and they told me why. And you can't preach on this, and they told me why. Well, Sunday morning, I had a three-point outline. You can imagine what it was. And, brother, the honeymoon was over, and the fight was on. You see, if it's in this book, we need to preach it. And we don't need to withhold it. We don't need to restrain it. The Bible says in John 8, verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, there are four fundamental truths or four fundamental facts about the book in your hand, about God's holy word. There may be more, but I want to just give you four tonight. First of all, let me say that Bible in your hand, it is a living book. It's different from every other book. There's been some great books. There's been some novels. I want you to know, I cried when Charlotte died in Charlotte's Web. I want you to know, I was scarred forever in fourth grade when Old Yella didn't make it. I mean, it scarred me bad. And I thought, what kind of sadistic author would write a dog story and have Old Yella die at the end? And I've read some books and some good ones, and I've read a few more than that since I've been saved. But I want you to know, this is the greatest book. It's a library of 66 books, and every word is preserved. His word is inspired. And listen, every jot and tittle, every comma and colon is put in the right place. God, the Holy Spirit, has overseen it. And don't you let someone tell you that it's outdated and that it's not relative for today's life and for today's living. God's word is a living book. Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick, that word is alive, and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God's word discerns our heart. We can preach from a passage. We can read Psalms 116, or Psalms 23, or Psalms 51, or Psalms 32, those great repentant. And whatever our need, while this man may have a lust problem, this man may have a covetous problem, and this man may have a lying problem. Notice no women have any problems. The biggest problems you women have are the man you're sitting with. But you see, the Spirit of God, He discerns our heart. He sees what our needs is. And more than once, more than a dozen times, more than a few times, Debbie will tell you, we've had people come by, shake hands, and they'll say, my wife been talking to you? Or they'll say, boy, you sure did step all over my toes today. You know, I've had one lady come and say, you got a bug in our house? You know, have you been listening to our conversations? No, I'll tell you what it is. The Spirit of God does. This is what this book does. It is alive. It far, far goes above Old Yella and Charlotte's Web and anything else that you want to make mention of. The Word of God knows all about us. God's Word knows what we're thinking. God's Word knows what we're planning. God's Word knows what we're proposing. God's Word reads our hearts when the Word of God is taught and preached. The Word of God is inspired of God, and it is preserved of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Psalm 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Matthew 5, verse 18, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no way pass from the law till it be fulfilled. Matthew 24, verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. 1 John chapter 1, verse 25, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. I think you get the picture, don't you? Understand, the word of God is as old as time and is as new as tomorrow. Hallelujah. Listen to me. God's blessed us to give us this book. This is God's love letter from heaven. God's given us this book, and I want you to know, oh my goodness, it has brought me such comfort over the years. When I could hardly see to read it from the tears, the Spirit of God was activated in my life from reading this book, and it has brought me such great conviction over the years to clean up my life and to address myself and draw nigh to God and be close to God. As sure as the night follows day and day follows night, God still lives and His Bible is right. Nothing has changed. If it was wrong 1,000 years ago, it's wrong tonight. If it was right 1,000 years ago, it's right tonight. It's a living book. It's a live book. Men spend their lives searching the world for truth and overlook the very source of their quest, the Bible. The first fundamental truth or fact about the Word of God is that it's a living book. Secondly, let me say the second is God's word moves freely. In 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1, the Bible says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. The word of God will not be bound, and the word of God cannot be restrained by man. Man may bound it, man may strive to restrict it, but never the word of God will it be bound. Psalm 147, verse 15, he sendeth forth his commandment upon earth. His word runneth very swiftly. God's word moves freely. His words like lightning, the Bible says. His word will not be bound. God's servant may be bound. God's servant may be restricted. There may be missionaries who will be sent home. There may be pastors who will be snatched from the pulpit for preaching God's word. God's servant might be restrained, but the blessed word of God, it runs freely. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 says, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. The Word of God, it's a wonderful book. What a lovely book. You know, it's been written on a fifth or sixth grade level where children can easily understand. People have climbed every mountain with the Word of God. It has crossed every ocean. It has sailed every sea. It has made it across every desert. It has been in the grave. It has been in the dungeon. It has been in prison. It's been everywhere. Today, there's all types of books, but the greatest selling book today is what you're looking at right there. It's the Word of God. When I was in college, and Ryan, I don't know if you did like I did, but I always try to find books that people had already had the course and were selling them. And some of our books and advanced theology and some of those books, they were expensive. And I also try to buy them from somebody who was a good student, because a lot of times they highlighted the important stuff. You know, I don't think that's lazy. I think that's just smart. And amen. And but let me tell you this. I sold those books. I was so glad to get rid of those books. I had a book that was entitled, the course was Introduction to Christian Education. I was never so happy to get rid of that book. But there's one that I will never get rid of. And I'm not preaching against it. I know it upsets people when I start talking about it. I don't think you're upset with it, but there's others on live stream. They would have a problem probably with it. But I want to tell you something. I don't have to reboot it. I don't have to worry about somebody stealing it. The battery doesn't go dead on it, no. And when I pull it close to me, I like it. I pull it close to me like this. Some of you see me on my broadcast. I got it close to me. I don't feel like I'm hugging a microwave. It's God's Word. I've got several. This is not a very expensive book, or Bible, rather. I have had it recovered. I've worn the covers out of it. I've got some others that I've been blessed with, Brother Allen putting new covers on for me. But we need to understand that the Bible says that God's Word is not bound. It's a wonderful book. It's been in the grave, the dungeon, and into prison. I read where Bloody Mary, some of you know who Bloody Mary is, don't you? And she was a terror. I believe she was probably demon-possessed. She confiscated the Bibles in England, and she had them all piled in the street, and she burned them. She torched the Bible. She thought she had destroyed the Bible, but thank God, we still have one, don't we? Hitler got all the Bibles. Mussolini got all the Bibles. There's been other would-be gods who've gathered God's Word and have piled them up, and they have made proclamation, God is dead. And listen to me, they're dead today, and God still lives, and so does His Bible. Understand that destroying the Bible does not destroy the Word of God. You see, it doesn't destroy, you know, destroying the Bible, it doesn't destroy. If you took my picture and you took it and you tore it in 1,000 pieces, well, you destroyed the picture, but you didn't destroy me. I'm still here. And men may destroy Bibles, but they cannot destroy the Word of God because it moves swiftly. The Word of God abideth forever. It is indestructible. God's Word is alive, and God's Word moves freely. Secondly, let me say, or thirdly, let me say, God's Word must be magnified. We need to make much out of God's Word. I've said it many times in this pulpit and for many years at Bethel Baptist Church. I echo what I heard the great Dr. Lee Robinson say one time. He just said it. It wasn't something profound. He just mentioned it in a message, but it was profound to me. He said, make much of Jesus and the words of Jesus, and Jesus will make much of you. I believe that in Psalm 138, verse 2, the Bible says, I will worship towards the holy temple and praise the name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. You know, God has magnified his word above his name. Do we worship the Bible? We worship the blessed subject of the Bible. This book, the Word of God, a library of 66 books brought together by the Holy Spirit, and the subject matter is the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood stain is on every page. His handprint is in every verse in the entire Bible. He is the living Word, and it is the written Word. It is the only thing that God elevates above His name is the book. Are you listening to me? It's the only thing He elevates above His name is the book you have in your hands. Don't you think we should elevate it every day? Not to have a message, it's going pretty well tonight, isn't it? You see, God's Word is the supreme authority. This is the final authority. The Bible says that when the lost will come before God Almighty at the Bema seat, at the white throne judgment, three books will be open. I believe one of them will be this one. I believe it's going to be the Word of God. And I believe that if someone gives excuse, they'll be able to hold it up and say, I gave you my word. There's a record of a man who said, I'm in this burning hell. I have five brothers. Would you send Lazarus? Would you send him back to my five brothers? They would believe someone they believe if someone was raised from the dead? And Abraham says, they have the scriptures. They have the word. And if they don't believe that, they wouldn't believe someone raised from the dead. And I want you to know Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and they still don't believe. You see, there's no hope for folks who refuse to believe the word of God. It is the final authority. Listen, it's the final authority in your marriage. It's the final authority in your parenting. It's the final authority in your life. Thank God, it is an anchor in turbulence and storms. It is a compass when it's pitch dark and we can't see our way. There is no hope for people who reject the Bible. We need to get back to the Word of God. Some books inform us. Some books reform us. The Word of God, man, it transforms us. Amen? And we see here that the Word of God, it's a live book. It's a book, it's a word that moves freely. It's a book that must be magnified. And then lastly, God's word. It's a book that separates the righteous from the wicked. You say, Pastor, are you a separatist? I am. You say, well, you think you're too good for these other? No, I were the other. I'm not too good. That's what I was. That's where I came from. So, well, why do you separate yourself? Because God's word separates us. In 1 Corinthians 5, verse 9, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to have company with fornicators. Stop breaking bread with fornicators. You know what that means? That means your cousin, that means your aunt, that means your brother, that means your sister. Amen. You know, don't run around and have fellowship with fornicators. God's word separates the righteous from the wicked. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupts good manners. The wrong kind of fellowship will destroy your morals. 2 Corinthians 6:10, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communication hath light with darkness? Ephesians 5, verse 11, and have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. James chapter 4, verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. The word of God separates us from the unrighteous. God's word separates the righteous from the wicked. God uses righteous men to do good things, and Satan uses wicked men to do evil things. The tragedy is some righteous, some saved people allow Satan to use them in opposition to the work of Christ. Now, understand this. I'm talking about people who are genuinely saved. I think of the pandemic and a brother who I had loved and tried to be a great help to, and he was an immense blessing to me. But when I decided that God was leading us just to live stream for a while, I mean, boy, that was the end of that. You see, saved people, he says here, look at 2 Thessalonians 3:2, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable. Didn't say unsaved, just unreasonable. You know, you can't be reasoned with about this thing. And wicked men, for all men have not faith. So Paul said that all men, not all men, walk in faith. Righteous people get upset. Righteous people leave the church. Righteous people oppose the work of God. Righteous people give up. Righteous people quit serving God. Righteous people oppose the work of God or different ministries. Righteous people quit tithing. They oppose the work of Christ. Righteous people that believe the lies of the world and the devil rather than trust the word of God, they oppose the work of God because they are men that have not faith. God's work separates the righteous, or God's word separates the righteous from the evil. Now, God's word, the book you have in your hand, I want you to feel it. Man, that's God's word. He walks with me and talks with me. He tells me how he's do that. He does it through this book right here. It's alive. It moves freely. It is the supreme final authority. It separates the righteous from the wicked, and it must be magnified. And I hope that you leave here tonight safely, without slipping and sliding. And I pray that you leave here with a greater love and appreciation at the blessed Word of God that we've got. And God's people said, Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you, dear God, for how wonderful you are. And Lord, we thank you for giving us this book. It is alive. It comforts me and it convicts me. Lord, it moves freely. Man cannot stifle it. They cannot resist it. They cannot, take it and bind it and restrain it. Lord, it is the supreme authority. It's your final word, your final authority of man. It separates us from the unrighteous. And Lord, help us to do right and magnify it, because it's the only thing that you have put above your name. In thy name I pray. Stand with me, would you please? Father,